Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to episode 104 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Greg Karam and Steve Sippa. Gentlemen, it came out this week, or was revealed, that Viggo Mortensen is a Mets fan. Perhaps you out there knew that. I did not.
I did not either.
If you could pick any person to reveal that he is a secret Mets fan, that would no longer be a secret Mets fan, who would you pick?
You know, I have actually, the Mets already have a really good roster of celebrity fans. You know,
Jerry Seinfeld's gone down in my book, though.
A little bit.
This week. The whole Bob Ojeda thing is just weird.
I'm a big Chris Rock fan, so that's pretty good. And I secretly hope that Louis C.K. is also a Mets fan because I like him.
Yes, we've gone over this on the show.
Yes, we have. I'm also a big Matthew McConaughey fan, so if he turned out to be a Mets fan, that'd be awesome.
I thought he's an Astros fan. Wasn't he in the Astros with the whole fanny pack thing last year?
Right, but this is, you know, my hypothetical.
Okay, your hypothetical. Fair enough.
Dream of dreams. I need to dream bigger.
Than Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Steve, like, who would you pick?
Since it's topical and the irony would be delicious, I'm going to go with Derek Jeter.
Well, I doubt it. It's funny, though. You see it like, I'm going to get my soccer plug in early here within the first 2 minutes. You'll see weird stuff like that. Like Steven Gerrard, I believe, you know, famous Liverpool player. I think he actually grew up an Everton fan. Sort of their Merseyside rivals out there. So you'll see things like that. David Hurst, one of the more famous players in Sheffield Wednesday history, grew up in Barnsley, played for Barnsley, I assume was a Barnsley fan, famously said he would never go to Wednesday, and now is like a beloved figure among the Wednesdayites. So it'd be funny if Derek Jeter turned out to be a secret Mets fan. You just want him to buy the team, though.
Not particularly. Not necessarily, but like I said, the irony was just, you know, it would just be too beautiful to pass up.
A few years ago, God, I've been doing this too long. On the podcast, I know I speculated about whether Yola Tengo were Mets fans or not, because they did that version of Meet the Mets on one of their WFMU fundraiser appearances. I got an email correcting me that, yes, in fact, not only are they Mets fans, their band name comes from a Mets reference. And I was thinking we're about due for a Meet the Mets update. Of course, there's the original. There's the 80s version, which I don't think anyone actually likes, but we sort of tolerate because it's still Meet the Mets. But I think we're due for like an updated go get 'em kind of, you know, modern Meet the Mets. You know, same lyrics, probably the original lyrics. I know the 80s lyrics are slightly different, and reference Shea specifically, but we need like a Mets fan band to do this. Obviously, if you're going to the Amazing Avenue comments, you're familiar with the Mets band, the GIF that shows up after the Mets win in the game threads. And I was trying to think of like what would be the most appropriate sort of secret Mets fan band. And unsurprisingly, I went with known baseball, but not necessarily Mets fans. Known baseball fans, not necessarily Mets fans. Kowloon Walled City. I think a big, sludgy, metal version of Meet the Mets is just what we're missing.
I don't know if that would appeal to the masses.
I was actually secretly hoping that, you know, the Mets would trade for Yasiel Puig this offseason so we could get a Puig Destroyer version of Meet the Mets on their next album.
Who doesn't secretly wish that?
Yeah, I think everyone should. This is episode 104 of Amazing Avenue Audio. And as you may have guessed by my co-host this week, it is our Prospect List Spectacular. A topic that is near and dear to all of our hearts. Actually, the first episode I ever did of Amazing Avenue Audio was a Prospect List Spectacular. This is our third one. So we'll go over the Amazing Avenue Audio, or the Amazing Avenue Prospect List, of which myself, Steve, and Greg represent three quarters of it, of the aggregate. We're recording late on Tuesday night, which is why I'm going to gather Rob Castellano is not here. A little too late for him.
Yeah, I think his bedtime's probably before 9 o'clock.
Yes. That's okay. We will soldier on. We have a few topics to discuss. We'll start out with we'll take an overview of the system as a whole. We'll talk about Noah Syndergaard, because I was thinking about it. We don't talk about Noah Syndergaard that much on the podcast, especially when we're talking about prospects. We've talked about, Dylson Herrera, Steven Matz, Brandon Nimmo, Kevin Plawecki. Montero was in the Major League on the Major League roster this year, so we talked about him a fair amount. We video scouted Gabriel Yanoa. We've probably talked more about, Luis Guillorme and Jared King and Dario Alvarez on the podcast, and we have Noah Syndergaard. So we'll talk about Noah Syndergaard. And we'll look forward to 2015, who might raise their stock, who might jump off the list, and we'll look at our own lists and banter about that. Who we had higher and lower than the others. And we'll wrap things up with one of my favorite segments. I think we usually do it in the minor league preview, but I'm going to move it into the prospect list preview this year. We're going to give you our guys, which are guys that may be on our list. They may not be on our list. They may not even be prospects, but they're our guys. We'll kick things off with sort of an overview of the Mets system as it stands heading into the 2015 season. And I guess the biggest change from past years, and our first talking point is, this is no longer a pitching heavy organization, pitching heavy system, as far as I can tell. If you look at the top 10, the only actual arms there were Syndergaard and Matz, obviously the top two, so that's nothing to scoff at. But then Rafael Montero and Marcos Molina, so only four out of the top 10. Which is a significant change from past years. So this newfound balance, is this good, bad, overrated, underrated? What do you guys think?
Well, given the current construction of the Major League roster, I think this is a very good thing because they have some established pitchers on the Major League team. You hope we're going to be able to be established for a while while also having a couple of top-tier prospects at the top of the system to kind of provide some depth to that pitching. So then you have the hitting is kind of more of an area of need. And I think it's encouraging that they have so many hitting prospects coming up along the way, especially because when you consider that some of the major league hitters are a little bit on the older side, with Granderson and Kadir and Wright. So there's reinforcements on the way, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely, and if you look at the baseball as a whole, offense is on the down, while pitching is a lot stronger, and it's good to see that we have a few possibly impact bats that could be coming up in the relative couple of years, and I don't want to say that adding people like that would be more useful than adding, pitchers, but, because...
As the Mets are finding out, you can only start five pitchers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You'll probably start more than five pitchers, but at one time you can only start five pitchers.